Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Salt Coast North Parish Church. This particular programme is about animal stories, which are simple on the surface but have layers of meaning below the surface. The idea for this programme came to me this week after a conversation I had with a young boy. His gran had died and I was trying to make sense of that for him, which is never an easy task. I told him two animal stories which seemed to help, so let's begin with the two that I told him. I said to him, you know about a caterpillar that it crawls along the ground and then one day it goes into a cocoon and it kind of goes to sleep. And then after a wee while it comes out of the cocoon and it becomes a butterfly. It's very different from a wee caterpillar that crawls on the ground. It's now flying about in the air with beautiful wings. One life through that little kind of death goes into another new life. So that's a wee picture maybe of this life going into the next life in heaven. And then I added another story, especially for children as well, about water bugs. Imagine that there's a wee colony of water bugs in a pond, and they've got a very happy little life, except for one thing that's been annoying them for a while. Every so often, one of them goes on to one of those reeds in the river or in the pond, and they crawl up the reed and they go through the surface and they're never seen again. So they got their heads together and they said, look, we don't know what happens, but could we all just promise that if it happens to us, we'll come back and tell the others? So they all promise, and a wee while later, it happens to one of them. They go onto the wee reed, they go up to the surface, they go through the surface, and they found themselves on a big leaf on the pond, on the surface of it. And then they discover their body's changing. And then they found that they've got wings. And they flap the wings and they start to fly. And they're having a whale of a time, dive bombing and flying about and doing loop the loop and all the rest. And then they suddenly remember their promise. So they think, right, I'd better go back and tell the others what happens. Tell them it's good news, there's a whole wonderful life out here. You get wings and everything. When he dives down, he hits the surface of the water and bounces up again. So he tries again and again and again, with no success no matter how hard he tried. So he had to give up. It wasn't for the want of desiring to go back, he just literally couldn't get back. So the water bug has now become a dragonfly. He's got a wonderful life up there, but he's out of touch now with the ones back down below. Here's Graham Kendrick singing a song. It says, come die, come live. We go through stages in life where we let go the past and we go into the new. There's a shedding of a skin and the getting a new skin. And death is like that, that it's the end of things, but it's also the way we enter into a whole lot of new things.
Jesus offers each one of us a new life. But first, the old one has to die. He calls us now to lay down our own lives and to follow him.
If anyone wants to come after me,
if anyone wants to come after me,
let them say no to their own way.
Let them say no to their own way.
If anyone wants to be my disciple,
if anyone wants to be my disciple,
let them say no to their own way.
Let them say no to their own way.
Come down.
Yeah.
Aesop wrote many fables, and often they feature animals. For instance, he tells us about the goose and the golden eggs, highlighting the self-defeating nature of materialism. He tells a story about a fox who cheats on a goat, to illustrate that you should look before you leap. Aesop is the man who gave us the classic tale about the boy crying wolf once too often. And here is probably his most famous fable of all, The Hare and the Tortoise. The hare was always running about at top speed. The tortoise was always crawling quite slowly. They kind of annoyed each other a wee bit. One thought the other runs daft, and the other thought, why can't you get a move on? One day, in their frictional relationship, they had an argument and a row, and they decided, well, the tortoise challenged the hare to have a race. The hare thought he was joking. The hare thought the tortoise would have no chance at all. But anyway, he thought, right, I'll show you. So it was all arranged. The next day they would have this race. And they got other animals interested now, and they're all watching. The badger fired the starting gun, and they were off. True to form, the hare went haring on ahead. The tortoise just crawled along slowly behind. The hare got a wee bit self-confident about the whole exercise, so he thought, well, I've time to sit down. And of course, when he sat down, it was a nice, warm, sunny day, and he leaned against a tree, and the next thing was he fell asleep. And as he was sleeping, along came the tortoise, who tiptoed quietly past him and tiptoed his way up to the finish line, and he won the race. The shouts and applause from all the other animals woke up the hare, and he realised too late, I've missed my chance. It was very embarrassing for the hare, obviously. The tortoise was quietly and smugly self-satisfied. But they ended up friends at the end of the day, and they had a wee play session together, all the animals. Kenny Rogers has a song about two people, one who runs about daft and one who has a better quality of life. It's called Life is Good, But Love is Better.
Life is a hustle, everyday struggle, pushing your way to the top. Gotta keep it on track and never look back, and no, you don't dare stop. There's someone behind you, keeping an eye on you, you take a fall. My lady, she'd like to see me more, but I can't slow down at all. She says, whoa, we need some time alone. I said, no, we gotta keep pushing on, pushing on. Life is good, love. Thank you. discovered the meaning of what you meant. I've been working so hard for the good life, but I had it all the while. I found my hidden treasure, baby, right here in your smile. I say, whoa, since we've spent time alone. I say, whoa, whoa, how our love has grown. She was right all along.
I say, life is good, love is better. She told me life is good, love is better.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM. As we're thinking about animal stories that on the surface are quite simple, but they carry a punch underneath, they carry a moral point. Aesop also wrote one called The Mouse and the Lion. One hot, hot day, a big lion was stretching out fast asleep, enjoying the sun, when suddenly a little mouse came hurrying along, and before it realised, it ran into the lion and it disturbed his peaceful sleep. The lion wasn't amused. He was inclined to eat the mouse. But the mouse pleaded for its life and said, "O lion, I'm just a little mouse. There's not much eating in me, is there? And if you would let me go, I'll do you a favour one day." "What could you do for me?" thought the lion. "Well, I don't know yet, but I will return the favour if you let me go." Well, he was in a good enough mood with the sun and his sleep, and it didn't look much to eat right enough. So he agreed. A wee while later, the lion was padding along when he got caught in a hunter's trap. It was a net, and he stepped into the net, and it pulled him up into the air, and he was caught. Then along came the mouse, and the mouse suggested that maybe this is my chance to repay the favour. "I can help you." The lion couldn't see how on earth a little mouse could help in his predicament. But the mouse got up and started gnawing away at the net. It was quite hard work and his poor little jaw was quite sore, but eventually he gnawed his way through the net and then the lion fell down and fell free. The lion was overjoyed. "Thank you very much," he said, and he ran off before the hunters could come and catch him. The mouse scuttled back to his home. He had a story to tell his family. The story does illustrate the fact that we can all help each other one way or another. We've got different skills and abilities. And if we look for the right opportunity, we can all help each other. It'd be a nice world if we all did, wouldn't it? Here's John Chisholm. "I Offer My Life," it's called.
It for your glory.
Donkeys are especially good for stories. Here's another story, I quite like this one. A man and his son and a donkey were on a journey. And as they walked along, the man was riding the donkey and his son was walking alongside. A passerby said, "That's terrible. You're sitting on the donkey and that poor little boy with his wee legs is having to do all the walking. You should be ashamed of yourself." So the man got off the donkey and he put his son onto the donkey and off they went. But the next passerby expressed deep offence too. They said to the boy, "Look at you sitting on that donkey, a young fit boy like you, and your poor old dad, he's having to trudge along the road. You should get off that donkey and give your dad a ride." So the boy got off the donkey. In fact, they both just walked along. The next passerby said, "Look at that, that's ridiculous. You've got a donkey and neither of you is using it. How stupid can you get?" So they both hopped onto the donkey. But the next passerby said, "Oh, poor little donkey. Look at the weight, two of them on your back at once. That's a disgrace." So they both got off the donkey and they picked up the donkey and they carried it. And then someone saw them carrying the donkey and they fell about laughing. "That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Two folk with a donkey and they're carrying it." You can see the moral to the tale. Don't listen to a word that the critics say. There's another story. Well, let Foster Nolan tell you this one. It's Delaney's Donkey.
Now Delaney had a donkey that everyone admired. Temporarily lazy and permanently tired. A leg at every corner, balance in his head, and a tail to let you know which end he wanted to be fed. Riley slyly said, "We've underrated it. Why not train it?" Then they took a rag. They rubbed it, scrubbed it, they oiled and imbricated it. Got it to the post and when they started to drop the flag, there was Riley pushing it, shoving it, shushing it, hogging, logging and everyone in town. Lined up attacking it and shoving it and smacking it. They might as well have tried to push the town hall down. The donkey was eyeing them, openly defying them, winking, blinking and twisting out of place. Riley reversing it, everybody cursing it. The day Delaney's donkey ran the half mile race. The muscles of the mighty never known to flinch. They couldn't move the donkey a quarter of an inch. Delaney lay exhausted, hanging round his throat, with the grip just like a Scotsman on a 5-pound note. Starter Carter, he lined up with the rest of them. When it saw them, it was well and then. It raced up, braced up, ready for the best of them. They started off to cheer it, but it changed its mind again. There was Riley pushing it, shoving it and shushing it, Hogan, Logan and Mary Ann McGrath. She started poking it, grabbing it and choking it. It kicked her in the bustle and it laughed, hee-haw. The Whigs, the Conservatives, the Radicals, Superlatives, Liberals and Tories, they hurried to the place, stood there in unity, helping the community. The day Delaney's donkey ran the half-mile race, the crowd began to cheer it, and Rafferty the judge, he came up to assist them, but still it wouldn't budge. The jockey who was riding it, little John McGee, was so thoroughly disgusted that he went and had his tea. Hagen, Fagin were students of psychology, swore they'd shift it with some dynamite. They bought it, brought it, then without apology, the donkey gave a sneeze and blew the whole lot out of sight. There was Riley pushing it, shoving it and shushing it, Hogan, Logan and all the bally crew. Police and auxiliary, the garrison artillery, the second in the skillings and the lifeguards too. They seized it and harried it, they picked it up and carried it, cheered it, steered it to the winning place. Then the bookies drew aside, they all went home and sat and cried. The day Delaney's donkey won the half-mile race.
The Bible has a lot to say about donkeys. Here's one of the weirdest stories in the Bible about a donkey. It belonged to the prophet Balaam. This is Numbers chapter 22. King Balak of the Moabites was fighting against the Israelites. and he was trying to recruit Balaam the prophet to put a curse on the Israelites. Balaam was inclining to go. God was not very happy with Balaam going to King Balak. So it says here, God was angry with Balaam that he was going, and as Balaam was riding along on his donkey, accompanied by his two servants, the angel of the Lord stood in the road to bar his way. When the donkey saw the angel standing there holding a sword, it left the road and turned into the fields. Balaam beat the donkey and brought it back onto the road. Then the angel stood where the road narrowed between two vineyards and had a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the angel, it moved over against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it. Again Balaam beat the donkey. Once more the angel moved ahead. He stood in a narrow place where there was no room at all to pass on either side. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down. Balaam lost his temper and began to beat the donkey with a stick. Then the Lord gave the donkey the power of speech, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you? Why have you beaten me these three times?" Balaam answered, "Because you've made a fool of me. If I had a sword, I would kill you." The donkey replied, "Am I not the same donkey on which you have ridden all your life? Have I ever treated you like this before?" "No," he answered. Then the Lord let Balaam see the angel standing there with his sword, and Balaam threw himself face downwards on the ground. The angel demanded, "Why have you beaten your donkey three times like this?" "I have come to bar your way, because you should not be making this journey. But your donkey saw me and turned aside three times. If it hadn't, I would have killed you and spared the donkey." Balaam replied, "I have sinned. I did not know that you were standing in the road to oppose me. But now, if you think it is wrong for me to go on, I will return home." But the angel said, "Go on with these men, but say only what I tell you to say." So Balaam went on with them. That's an example of the silly ass was actually a step ahead of his wise prophet owner. This is Songs of Inspiration. Well, we've just got time to squeeze in one last story about an animal. A farmer had some puppies he needed to sell. He painted a sign advertising the four pups and set about nailing it to a post on the edge of his yard. As he was driving the last nail into the post, he felt a tug on his overalls. He looked down into the eyes of a little boy. "Mister," he said, "I want to buy one of your puppies." "Well," said the farmer, as he rubbed the sweat off the back of his neck, "these puppies come from fine parents and cost a good deal of money." The boy hung his head. Then reaching deep into his pocket, he pulled out a handful of change and held it up to the farmer. "I've got 39 pence. Is that enough to take a look?" "Sure," said the farmer, and let out a whistle. "Here, Dolly," he called. Out from the doghouse and down the ramp ran Dolly, followed by four little balls of fur. The little boy pressed his face against the chain-link fence, his eyes dancing with delight. As the boys made their way As the dogs made their way to the fence, he noticed something else stirring inside the doghouse. Slowly, another little ball appeared, this one noticeably smaller. Down the ramp it slid, and then in a somewhat awkward manner, the little pup began hobbling towards the others, doing its best to catch up. "I want that one," the little boy said, pointing to the runt. The farmer knelt down at the boy's side and said, "Son, you don't want that puppy. He will never be able to run and play with you like these other dogs would." With that, the little boy stepped back from the fence, reached down and began rolling up one leg of his trousers. In doing so, he revealed a steel brace running down both sides of his leg, attaching itself to a specially made shoe. Looking back up at the farmer, he said, "You see, sir, I don't do so well myself. And he'll need someone who understands." With tears in his eyes, the farmer reached down and he picked up the little pup. Holding it carefully, he handed it to the little boy. "How much?" asked the little boy. "No charge," answered the farmer. "There's no charge for love." Bye for now, and I'll leave you with the St. Mary's Guitar Group.